There we go. There we go. Or here we are. Take your pick.
Here we are.
Here we are. We is me and Kimberly Adams. Today
Hello.
Is Thursday. Molly's still out. Kimberly's back for today and tomorrow. How we doing?
I mean, it's a hollowed out shell of a Thursday.
It kind of is. Although I'm feeling pretty good, as you can tell by my cackle.
Yes, I have to say it took me quite some time to find a make me smile that wasn't the very obvious, you know, fly on Pence's head joke.
Oh, my Lord.
Which I was like, can't do it. We've been cracking jokes about that all day, even though it was a very serious debate. And there were other very meaningful things that came out of it. But, of course, that's the narrative. But anyway, we will start with the real news fix and then the make me smile that I eventually came up with. And, Kai, I think yours is newsier, so why don't you go ahead?
So this is from Axios today. Axios, a newsletter, and this item written by the very plugged-in Jonathan Swan. He says, two sources, and this is the quote, Trump was spooked after seeing the instant drop in the stock market after his tweet calling off negotiations on the stimulus package. He was spooked by it and also by the intense backlash and has since directed Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin to push for a more comprehensive relief bill before the election. I hate to use vulgarities on this podcast.
But it's a podcast.
I know I can, but I get yelled at when we get the E, or at least I used to. Maybe there's new rules under Bridget Bonner, who cusses like a sailor. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I am going to call BS, just straight up BS, because President Trump has manipulated the stock market. I cannot tell you how many times on China trade deals, on tax packages, on take your pick, all the way to the always to the upside. And the idea that he didn't anticipate that the stock market was going to crater something like 600 points when he went out and said, I am directing my people to call off negotiations until we get after the election, it's simply not credible. And I just think that's who we. Also, sorry, parenthetically, I just have to say this. There's not a deal coming because, and I will defer to you, Kimberly Adams, Washington-based reporter for Marketplace, if you're going to correct me. But here's what I think. I think the president now has decided he wants a deal to help him with the election. I think Pelosi wants a deal because Democrats have passed two now, or maybe they passed one and a half, I guess, the HEROES Act and the CARES Act. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin wants a deal because he likes to be known as a deal maker. I don't think Senate Republicans, though, necessarily are willing to spend the money. Do you buy that?
I mean, yes, but maybe not necessarily for the same reasons.
Okay.
I think there are just fundamental disagreements on the Hill about how to spend to stimulate the economy. I think there is a broad-based agreement that something needs to get done, but the what, people just cannot agree, and there's zero incentive to compromise this close to the election. Now, in terms of Trump and what he said and what it did to the markets, mm-hmm. I mean, let's be generous and say he's a bit under the weather at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be fair.
Trump and the markets is something that obviously you've talked about on the show through this whole presidency, and it kind of does blow the mind. But also, the thing that I always stick on is just it's such a small part of the economy. You always say the stock market is not the economy, but in particular, the part of the economy that movement relates to just reflects what a small piece of the country Trump is sort of responding to, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's wild that Trump manipulates the stock market, but then the consequences of that manipulation affect everybody else, including the people who haven't been able to take advantage of the upsides of the market going up despite the pandemic. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that a deal is coming.
Well, so to your point, and then we can move on. I got an email from a guy I know who works on Capitol Hill today. He works in a Republican, actually, congresswoman's office. And here's what he said about the deal. And we can make of this what we will. The Senate is philosophically opposed to a New York City, California bailout. Right, aid for states is a big deal in this proposed relief package, and cannot get 60 votes for it. The White House can get a lot done, but this is a line in the sand for too many people up here. So I don't know that a deal's coming at all. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, my news fix,
yes,
which is just these jobs numbers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're stuck here. And we talked about this, I think, the last round that you and I were on together, about this is just where we're going to live for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, we're just going to continue to have these, you know, 800,000 to a million people, you know, filing for unemployment, initial claims for unemployment every single week. I mean, it's crazy the stuff that we've normalized in this pandemic. We've normalized hundreds or sometimes more than 1,000 people dying every day of COVID-19. We've normalized 850,000 people a week filing for unemployment. And every day we're getting news about these big companies not just laying off hundreds of people, but laying off thousands of people. Yeah. Or you know, today, what was it? Warner Media. I had that article up. And these are the ripple effects that you and I and others were talking about early on in the pandemic. It's like, yes, people in the food service industry are losing their jobs right now because restaurants are closed. But that is going to affect, you know, tax revenues. And as we talked about in our deep dive the other day, that is going to then affect, you know, people's ability to go on vacation and the pandemic blocking, you know, the lockdowns and people not wanting to go to movie theaters, not wanting to go to theme parks. The ripple effects of this pandemic just, I don't think, are done in the economy. And that is concerning.
And I think it's getting lost, especially lately, in the intensification of all the fire hose, right? The president's infection and the campaign and the debate and all of that stuff. I just think the real impact of this, which usually organizations like ours and other journalistic enterprises are able to keep on the front burner of people's consciousnesses, we just can't break through now, you know? And I think that's a real shame.
And I think that's also why you have people latching on to these seemingly like trivial things. Like, why did everyone want to talk about the fly on Pence's head in the debate? Because God forbid we focus on the real issues that are just so overwhelming that we just cannot deal.
Yep.
I mean, Bridget exactly right. was saying on Slack, you know, what kind of country are we in that we needed that moment?
Right. Right. For sure. For sure.
Just like we need a Make Me Smile now.
We do. Right now. Charlton Thorpe, wake up in there. There you go. All right. Okay. So here's mine. It's a follow-up from the other day. Nathan Apodaca, the TikToker who did that video of himself skateboarding, shooting a video, drinking the cranberry stuff. I talked about how, like, Mick Fleetwood had done it because he was singing a Fleetwood Mac song, and then the Army did it with a helicopter. Some guy with a literal pumpkin head on his head did it. Anyway, so got lots of viral buzz. Ocean Spray, being the really savvy marketing people that they are, got together with a local car dealer in Arizona where Mr. Apodaca lives, arranged to get him a new truck, and I'll explain why this is relevant in a minute, that was loaded with a truck bed full of Ocean Spray juices. So props to Ocean Spray for knowing a viral moment when it happens. But here's why I wanted to mention this. I hadn't realized when I first saw this video that the reason he was doing this video was because he was on his way to work in a warehouse and his car had broken down and he didn't want to be late for work. So he shot this video on his longboard as he was longboarding to work so that, in theory, he wouldn't get docked a day's pay or maybe lose his job because his car broke down. And I just need to inject that note of labor market realism into what is a really fun and happy story, but it's got its roots in the current state of the American labor force, not to be all downer in the Make Me Smile moment. Sorry. But that's the reality of this thing. Anyway, it's cool.
I might have to call that a fail as a Make Me
Smile
guy.
Well, come on, man. Yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, man. All right, so look, first of all, it was Idaho, not Arizona, but still, it's he was on his way to work. Charlton, you're killing me, man. And look, you guys can't see him, but he's in there laughing his ass off. Like, I got you, sucker.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to do much better because mine made me smile just because it's so grim and realistic. speaking of clever marketing, hotels.com is offering a stay in a underground cave from November 2nd to the 7th.
That's funny.
So that you can live under a rock during the election.
That's pretty good. I like that. I like that. It's a hair on the nose, but you know.
Yeah. To help people escape from election stress disorder.
Oh, man. What are we, 26
rock
days?
Rock is sounding pretty good right now.
It's almost unfathomable how crazy the next 26 days are going to be, honestly.
Actually, I...
You don't think?
The thing is, we've been voting for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
And so early voting has already started. It's, you know, the sort of standard election night and rush to the election things are just, it's diluted a bit this time around. I mean, we still do it because that's just the rhythm that we're in mm-hmm. media and politics mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. Washington. But the actual emphasis of, my mother's already voted. Most of the people I know have already voted. And so it's kind of just like, run to the election day that even though most people have already, but a lot of people have already voted.
I read 5.6 million as of today, and it will certainly go up. That's all real and that's all happening. But I just think to the rhythms you spoke of, not only are our press and people and society geared toward election day, so too our campaigns. And they're going to drive this straight through to that Tuesday night, even though unless it's a blowout, we're not going to have results and it's going to take a while. I just think it's going to be increasing levels of intensiveness and craziness. I don't see that going any other way.
Okay, so go claim your rock early.
Go claim your rock early. And with that, we are out of here. Tomorrow, Economics on Tap. It's Friday. YouTube live stream as well. 3:30 Pacific time, 6:30 Eastern, and whatever it is in St. Louis and the middle of the country. If you can't wait till then, though, we do have a newsletter. It comes to your inbox early, early, early Friday morning. Sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters. Tomorrow, by the way, going to be a good one, Erica tells me. Apparently, doing the numbers on why so many Netflix originals get canceled after just two seasons, which seems to me to be quirky, but I'll read it and find out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, for sure.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ben Heathcote is our video producer. And Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And as Kai mentioned, Erica Phillips writes the newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Charlton Thorpe, as I believe I've mentioned, engineered the program today. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez did our theme music. Bridget Bodner is the senior producer who's getting ready, by the way, to head out on family leave. Donna Tam, the amazing Donna Tam, who just got back from family leave, is going to fill
Welcome
in.
Back.
So there's a lot going on around here. Executive Director of On Demand, she's back, you know, so I guess I have to stop giving her a hard time. This is Tara Nieves. And also, yes, Executive Director. I legit forgot yesterday. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Why? Well, I just thought it was
Pushing
Director
guy.
Of On
Demand.
Oh, this is so funny.
Get your titles night, right?
Donna is slacking you. She's been back for like 3 weeks, dude. Whatever. Whatever.
We're all remote forever.
Yes.
Hi, beloved intern Ethan Peretz here. Bwah, 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 bwah. On Thursday, October 15th, Make Me Smart celebrates its 300th episode. Now, don't tell Kai and Molly, but we want to surprise them with something special from you. We want to hear how we've made you smart in the past 300 episodes. So tell us something you've learned from Kai and Molly. Record your answer as a voice memo on your smartphone and send it to us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. And as always, thank you for listening and supporting this show.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.